Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we continue our meditation on Jesus of the Gospels. We saw that Jesus presented himself as a great healer. All the people who had any sorts of trouble, of illness, handicaps, came to him, and all those who touched him with faith were healed. In fact, he did not wait for people to come to him. He went to them. He searched out the lost, the sick, the people in despair, the people who were troubled. And he brought them relief, brought them health, brought them consolation, joy, and life. Today we want to analyze one such incident more closely. The Gospel of Mark, the second healing activity of Jesus reported, is about the healing of the mother-in-law of Simon Peter. This is reported in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 1, verses 29 to 31. First we shall read it and then reflect upon it. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. A very short description of a healing service performed by Jesus in the privacy of a home. And this house is presented as the house of Simon and Andrew. The time of the day is in the afternoon. The day is Sabbath. And this incident is immediately related to the healing in the synagogue of Capernaum. The house of Simon was not far away from the Capernaum synagogue. In the synagogue, Jesus presented himself as the mighty one, at whose word even demons go out, whom the demons recognized and acknowledged as the Holy One of God. Jesus presented himself as a mighty prophet, one whose word carried authority, whose word had power, power over evil forces. Very unlikely, very unsimilar to their rabbis, teachers. Jesus' word carried power. And here, that power manifests itself in a different way, not as casting out a demon, but as healing from a mortal illness. Now, as soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon. From the synagogue, from the public sector, a liturgical assembly, Jesus moves into the private sector, into the privacy of a home. This house becomes the center of Jesus' activity, so to say, the headquarters of Jesus' mission. Jesus enters the house. Simon and Andrew, the owners of the house, James and John, the four beginners, the four disciples who were chosen first, so to say, the core group of Jesus' disciples are there. Simon and Andrew, John and James. They come into the house. Now, in the house, there is a situation, and situation of emergency. An urgent plea comes to Jesus. From the household, from the persons who are in the house. Now, the situation is desperate. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. We are not told what kind of fever it was. If they should report this to the master, Jesus, they should have considered it as a serious sickness. Fever was in fact a very serious illness at the time of Jesus. There were many kinds of fever. The rabbis had identified 13 sorts of fever. And the fever they called fire. Fire that burns inside. The fire in the heart, the fire in the stomach, the fire in the bones. The fire that burns inside brings the heat out. So there is something very seriously wrong. And even now, even today, we know that very serious fever. Fever, in fact, is not an illness in itself, the doctors say. It's only a symptom. But the symptom and the illness are identified in the primitive, non-scientific mind. We know of the dengue fever, we know of the rat fever, we know all sorts of fever that can be very, very risky, dangerous, even mortal, even in our day of scientific world. Simon's mother-in-law was sick with fever. He was bedridden, a person who was debilitated, a person who had reduced to the bed, cannot get up, cannot do anything, a person in illness. And here, they told him about her at once. That's the first thing we notice. A person who is sick is brought to the notice of Jesus. Here we see the intercession, the intercessory prayer. A person who is sick at home, who cannot do anything, that person is brought to the attention of the Lord. We could ask, why should they tell Jesus about her? Could he not know? Could he not see when he comes to the house, the person lies in bed? Of course he knew. He knew everything. And there is no need to tell him if you want to make him know about the situation. No. He's not giving a first-hand information. The prayer here expresses the concern, the solidarity, the community of the persons, of the people with the one who is sick. I express my solidarity with the sick when I present the case of the sick before God. The prayer for the sick is not to bring a new information before God. God knows everything. And God wants to heal. And God's healing power is there. But that power has to be tapped through the intercessory prayer. That's what God wants. Not because he doesn't know of the need. Jesus has told us, when you pray, you should know that your Father knows what you need, even before you ask. Jesus is aware of the illness of this woman. But the people present the case before him. They are in solidarity with this person. The prayer of intercession. Then what does Jesus do? Three words are used to express Jesus' reaction. He came, took her by the hand, and lifted her up. Came, took the hand, lifted up. The approaching, the nearness, that gives comfort, that gives confidence, consolation, strength. You are not alone by this presence, Jesus is telling. That's the first thing everybody could do to a sick person. A person who is sick feels isolated, lonely, fearful, afraid of everything. He doesn't know how this illness will end, if he is going to survive it, if he is going to die of it. A person who suffers, a person, lonely person. Jesus comes near, he approaches. He is the God who is near. At his birth, when his birth was announced, the angel said he will be called Immanuel. Immanuel, God with us. Jesus is the God who comes near. Later on, he has promised to us, when two or three are joined in my name, I will be in your midst. At the end, after the resurrection, he told the disciples, I am with you to the end of ages. God who is near, that is Jesus. God who is near in our loneliness. God who is near in our despair, in our need, in our sorrow, in our sickness. He came near. Not only he comes near, he takes by the hand. That is a very encouraging step. A deed that communicates warmth, a deed that communicates strength, courage. You are not alone. I am with you. I will walk with you to the end of the road. I'll never leave you alone. Even when you feel isolated, when you feel lonely, when you're afraid, I am with you. This is what God is like. This is what the psalmist tells us about God. A few examples would be interesting to note in this situation. Psalm 37:24. Though we stumble, we shall not fall headlong, for the Lord holds us by the hand. We who walk may stumble, but God will not allow us to fall because He holds us by the hand. Like a child is held by the hand, by the mother or the father. God holds us. That's what Jesus does, holding by the hand. In Psalm 63:8, my soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. God's right hand is a strong hand from which nobody will be left out. No one will be hurt when God is holding our hand. He is upholding us. He is holding us by the hand. In Psalm 73, verse 21 to 23, when my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was stupid and ignorant. I was like a brute beast toward you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. I am continuously with you. You hold my right hand. Psalm 144:7. Stretch out your hand from on high. Set me free and rescue me from the mighty waters. As a person drowning in a whirlpool is praying to God, stretch out from above, from heaven, stretch out your hand and lift me up. I am being sucked up into the vortex. This is how a sick person feels, a person who is in despair. And there comes God with his outstretched hand. Here Jesus taking the hand of this poor sick person is God's own presence. She can feel the warmth, the strength, the courage that emanates from Jesus' hand. In Isaiah 41:13, for I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, do not fear, I will help you. So Jesus, taking hold of the hand of this woman, is telling, I am with you. Take courage. Don't be afraid. I will not leave you. I will not leave you a prey to death. I will not allow you to sink into the pit. I am with you. This is what God had promised through Isaiah in chapter 43, verses 1 and 2. Now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. The flame that is consuming inside, this burning fever, the person feels that God is there. I will not abandon you. I will not leave you. So Jesus tells her, I am with you. I am holding your hand. He stretched out his hand, held her by the hand. Then he lifted her up. This lifting up is a normal process, helping the person to stand up. But the Greek word used is the same word that later on the evangelist would use to point to the resurrection of Jesus, a gerein, to raise up. So to lift up is the same as to raise up. Mark doesn't mean that this person was dead and Jesus is raising her from the dead. But there is a kind of nuance, an implication, that this lifting her up is not only from the physical illness, it is giving her a new start, a new life, indicative of the eternal life that God is giving through Jesus. Raising up. Fever that would have brought eventual death is now being conquered through life. So lifting up is a raising up. Jesus lifted her up. Jesus raises everybody up. Even when you are dead, he will lift you up, will raise you from the dust, from the dead. So this healing touch of Jesus brings life. Life wins over sickness and death. Jesus lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her. Jesus did not say a word, according to Mark. The very gesture of lifting her up was sufficient. His healing touch performed the healing. In the other Gospels, you would say Jesus rebuked the fever. It's again another way of expression. Note that fever is an animate being or is a symbol of demon or anything. Fever is a debilitating illness that somehow diminishes the life. And Jesus is rebuking this diminishing force as he rebukes wind and storm and sea and brings calm. Jesus brings health. Jesus brings peace. The fever left her. And what happens immediately? The moment she feels that she felt that the fever was gone, she got up and she began to serve them. Healing is a call to serve. She was healed, and that gift of God is received with thanks, and thanks is expressed by service. She served them. We are also healed by God. We may be sick, we may be tired, we may be in despair, and we may have experienced God's healing touch. And once we are healed, we may forget our past situation. We may forget the grace we have received. That should not happen. When we are sick, we should know that we are not alone. Jesus stands near us. He comes to us bringing help, bringing health. He touches us. He lifts us up. But once we are healed, once we are lifted up from the bed, we should be on our feet to serve. Thanksgiving through service. Healed to serve. And that's what Jesus wants of us. That's how we should express our gratitude and our faith. And what happens next? In verses 32 to 34, Mark is giving a general description of the end of a day. Sabbath ends. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. The whole town gathers in front of the door of Peter as the Sabbath ends. We know on the Sabbath day people are not allowed to walk a distance. They are not allowed to carry any weight. They are not allowed to do any work. So they wait till the sunset. At sunset, a new day begins. The Sabbath is over and the people can start working. And what they do, they come to Jesus. They come not alone. They come with their sick. They bring people who are possessed, people who are in need, people who are sick. Intercession again. Come to Jesus with all the troubles. Come to Jesus with all the sick, and he will touch and he will heal. One thing we have to keep in mind, Jesus does not allow the demons to speak because they knew that he is the Messiah. It very often happens that Jesus prohibits the people to speak out that he is the Messiah. He tells those who are cured not to speak. He tells his disciples not to tell it out that he is the Messiah, because this premature revelation of Jesus' messiahship could lead to misunderstanding. People could think of a political, a worldly Messiah who brings a new dominion, a world power, who brings only physical healing. Jesus is healer. Of course, he heals physically, but that is not the main object of his coming. His object of his coming is giving life, new life, a life that will never end. And that life is poured out into our hearts through his death on the cross and through the Spirit that was released after his death and resurrection. So this new life has to be received in faith. So a premature revelation of Jesus as the Messiah might jeopardize this revelation. So it's not enough that one is being healed physically. In order to understand the Messiah, in order to understand who Jesus really is, we have to follow him on the way of the cross. And the healing is only the beginning of the story. Now, let's conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son into this world as our Savior, as our healer. Jesus, we thank you for standing by us in our loneliness, in our sickness, in our hopelessness. We thank you for holding our hand, giving us strength and courage. Hold us till we reach your home. Father, we thank you through Christ our Lord. Amen.